Praise God, Lord. We thank you that you have made it well with our souls. And whatever we face, Lord, we know that we're in your hands, under your care, in your love, and our souls can rejoice. And Lord, we pray that you'll help us to rejoice greatly tonight. We have a wonderful Savior, and he's doing wonderful things in our lives. And Jesus, we have every reason to rejoice and give thanks and praise you with all our hearts. And so we ask that the Holy Spirit will help us. We feel that we can't praise you as we ought to. Lord, that we can't express our love to you sufficiently, but we thank you that you've given the Holy Spirit to anoint us and to enable us to worship you in spirit and truth and to give expression to our love for you. Jesus, we pray that you will pour out your Spirit upon the camp tonight and every place where we're gathered. Lord, we pray down in the village that you will bless the young ladies there and those that are ministering to them. Jesus, we pray tonight that your word will go forth under the anointing of the Holy Ghost. And Jesus, that your Spirit will open hearts and minister, Lord, to the needs that are represented there. We pray, Lord, that you'll melt hard places and you'll make hearts tender to the work of the Holy Ghost, to the Word of God, Lord. We think of King Josiah, whose heart was tender when he received the Word. And Lord, we pray that you will make these hearts tender toward your Word. We pray, Lord, that you'll do it for the cottagers as well. Jesus, we pray that the sweet presence of Jesus will fill that meeting and that they too shall just open their hearts to your working, Lord. We thank you that you know how to draw little children to yourself and how to make your love real to them and give them light, help them to grasp these simple truths that bring them to salvation. And so we pray you'll bless these boys and girls. Yes. Here in this Watch Rock meeting, Lord, we recognize that you're right here with us. And Jesus, we pray that you will take charge of this gathering tonight. Lord, have your way. Have your way along every line. You choose the songs for us, Lord. You give the testimonies, Lord. You bring forth your word. We want Jesus to be glorified in all that's said and done. Thank you, Lord, for giving us another opportunity to draw near to God. And we know that he will draw near to us. He promised to. And we know that he's faithful. And so, Lord, have your way. Again, we pray in Jesus' precious name. Amen. Praise God. You don't have to be a Christian very long to realize that we're in a battle. I guess we all feel that. And that's good. It's good. Jesus brings us into the battle. Praise God. We know that Jesus is victor, that he won a great victory on Calvary, and that he has been manifest to destroy the works of the devil. And he wants to do that in his people, first of all, and then through his people. Praise God. And we have that call over our lives to give ourselves to Jesus in such a way that he can cause his kingdom to come and be established in our lives. Praise God. I lived down in Fredericksburg, Virginia for a little while, and I came upon a group of Christians that I became friends with some of them. And it's very interesting to me. They were always binding the enemy over this matter and over this situation. And they took great authority in their meetings. They seemed very bold, and they took their stand, and they commanded the enemy not to do this and to take his hand off of that and so on. But as I got to know some of them, I found out that some of them couldn't bind the enemy in their own life. They had tempers, there was jealousy, and there were other attitudes that were just so unbecoming to a Christian. And yet they felt that they had such authority over the enemy in the name of Jesus, but they couldn't seem to get him under control when it came to their own heart. And I thought there was something wrong with that. I thought, you know, I don't think you really understand where the battle is. It's not out there, first of all, but the battle is in here. in our own hearts. And that's where Jesus wants to reign, and that's where Jesus wants to be king, and that's where he wants to establish his victory, first of all, in our own hearts. The Bible says it's better for a man to rule his own spirit than a man that can take a city. And you know, we want to try to take the city first, but we're not under control here as we ought to be. But Jesus, he is able. The Bible tells us he's able to subdue all things unto himself. And as we submit ourselves to the authority of Jesus Christ in our life, and as we recognize that he is king, his word is law, and we submit ourselves to him, and we yield ourselves and allow the power of his Holy Ghost to bring our lives under his control, then God puts authority on us to win victories in other areas where his kingdom wants to spread and be established. And it's certainly right that Jesus wants to destroy the work of the enemy, and he wants to use his people, and God is doing that. But he first of all wants to subdue our own spirits, and that's so important, isn't it, that we learn that Jesus became king of my heart first of all. You know, there are some ministers that had great authority. God used them to command sickness to leave and other changes to be wrought. And the reason they were able to do that is because they had, first of all, learned to come under authority. They had learned to obey the Lord. And they made that their primary concern. I want to obey Jesus in everything. I don't want anything to rise up in my heart that doesn't glorify him. But I want him to be King of Kings and Lord of Lords in my own life. And as you learn to do that, then Jesus will be able to use you in ways that he desires, to bring blessing and release and deliverance to others. Praise God. We think of those seven sons of Sceva. You remember reading about them in the book of Acts? They thought that they had authority just by quoting the name of Jesus. I command you, they said, by Jesus whom Paul preaches. They didn't know Jesus themselves. They didn't know anything about submitting to the lordship of Christ in their own lives. But they wanted to command devils to depart. The Bible tells us that they tried to cast out a demon out of a man. And the demon rose up and he said, Jesus I know, and Paul I know, but who are you? And he went after them and beat the daylights out of them. And they had to run out of that house all beaten up. And that was something. Word about that got around everywhere. And, well, first of all, that the devil knew Jesus, and the devil knew Paul. Why did the devil know Paul? Because Paul was a threat to him. Paul had learned to come under the lordship of Christ, and now Jesus was reigning through Paul and establishes his kingdom through Paul's life and tearing down the kingdom of darkness. And so the devil knew Jesus and he knew Paul, but these sons of Sceva, they thought they were something, and they were nothing at all to him. No match, no concern whatsoever. Praise God. And I think that that's good for us to think about a little bit tonight. Praise God. Jesus wants to be king of my life. And he does want then to use me to do his work and fight the battles of the Lord. There are many battles that yet need to be fought. Battles in your home. Battles in our churches sometimes. There are things that need to be made right and brought into the will of God and straightened out. Problems between people and so on. And there's sickness that we deal with. And that's a battle that we need to address and believe God to give the victory over. Sickness in your life and in the lives of others that we love. But it starts first of all in our own hearts. In the Song of Solomon, as we've been looking at that, it talks there about the Church of Jesus Christ, the Bride of Christ. And it says something interesting. First, it talks about her being like a dove. So she has dove's eyes. And that's mentioned more than once. And as you read the book, you see that Jesus sees his church as something very tender, something very gentle, something very sensitive to him and to his drawing. You know, the dove in the Bible speaks of peace and gentleness and purity. We see that symbol used in different places in the Bible. I always think of the dove in connection with Noah and the ark. And, you know, after the ark had landed on Mount Ararat, then Noah sent out a dove. And the dove flew around over the waters looking for a place where she could land and rest her feet. And she couldn't find any place that she wanted to land on. And so she came back to the ark. And then the Bible tells us that Noah sent out a raven. And that raven never came back. It found plenty of places to land. There were carcasses floating in the water, I'm sure, and it could feed upon those carcasses, and all those unclean things had no trouble lighting its foot upon, but not the dove. The dove was too pure, too gentle, and the dove returned. And so we see the picture of gentleness and meekness and purity in the picture of that dove. They tell us that doves mate for life. Maybe you didn't know that about those birds. They mate for life. And they say that when doves look at each other, you know, the ones that love each other, that it's very hard to distract them. There's something about that gaze. And when the bridegroom says to the bride, thou hast dove's eyes, He's speaking about that absolute devotion and love that comes from the bride to the bridegroom. It speaks about the gentleness and the purity, the tenderness that the people of God ought to have toward him. Praise God. We ought to pray that God will make us like that more and more. You know, more gentle, more loving, more compassionate. You know, there are a lot of hurting people in this world, and Jesus wants to use his church to touch them and bring Christ to them. But we have to do it in the spirit of meekness. We have to do it in the spirit of Christ. Sometimes we have the right cause, but we have the wrong spirit about us. Oh, we're standing up for the right thing, but we go about it the wrong way entirely. And we turn more people off to the gospel than we do actually draw them to the Savior. And so the Lord wants to make us sensitive. He wants to make us sensitive to the Holy Ghost. How important that is, that we learn to be sensitive to the Holy Spirit. I remember here at camp, how often we were admonished to just get still before the Lord. And then follow his leading. And after meeting, don't just fool around and forget everything you heard. Because the Holy Spirit is like a dove that can easily be grieved. And we don't want to grieve him. We want to show him that his work is precious to us and his word is precious to us. And so Brother Gardner used to tell us, now go to bed. And I'll take care of the things you need to take care of. And then just go to bed and continue to worship God. And let that sweet dove of the Holy Ghost just settle on you. Praise God. And that's something that we have to nurture and develop in our lives. And as we do, Jesus Christ will have his way in us more perfectly. But the Bible also says that the bride of Christ is like an army with banners. And that sounds like just the opposite, doesn't it? That doesn't sound very gentle and tender, but it sounds rather militant. An army with banners. An army that's holding up its banners, and when the army has its banners on furl, that means that it's marching forward. That it's marching to victory, that it's marching in the name of the Lord and taking territory, claiming territory and conquering for Him. And he says that's what the Church of Jesus Christ must be in the world, an army with banners. And that's the other side. There's two sides. There's the gentle, tender dove, and then there's the army with banners. And that goes forward in His name. You know, we don't have to be afraid of the enemy when we face the enemy in the name of the Lord. Now, in the name of the Lord doesn't mean just saying those words, in the name of the Lord. We often tag that onto the end of our prayers. I do that too. But I realize that praying in the name of Jesus just doesn't mean saying those words. It has to do with the Spirit of Jesus. And praying in the name of Jesus is praying with the humility and the meekness of Jesus Christ, and praying according to His will, and so on. And so it's more an attitude of our heart than it is words that come out of our mouth. But God wants to use His church to destroy the work of the enemy. He wants them to be vessels through whom He can manifest His power. And we, as God's people, we don't have to be afraid of the things that come our way. But we can march forward in Jesus' name, and we can claim His victory as we submit ourselves to Him. Then we can believe for His power and His authority to work in us and through us and to bring about great victories. We are more than conquerors, the Bible says, through Him who loved us and gave Himself for us. And sometimes we face rather fierce battles, and we have to take our stand in the name of the Lord, and we have to believe God to manifest Himself and to show us His great power and grant a great victory. It's just a very interesting verse in the book of Micah. And I just thought of this in connection with some of the things we were talking about. Micah chapter 5. Praise God. Here the prophet is talking about the remnant. The remnant. Those that are true to God. Those whom God has raised up in the midst of backslidings and so on. There will always be a remnant that will serve the Lord and through whom He will fulfill His purposes. And it says here in the 5th chapter, the remnant of Jacob in the 7th verse shall be in the midst of many people as a dew from the Lord, as the showers upon the grass that tarrieth not for man, nor waiteth for the sons of men. Here he speaks of one aspect of the people of God, the Church of Jesus Christ. He says they're going to be like that dew. That dew that settles upon the grass, gentle, that brings refreshing to the sons of men. Praise God. That's that picture of the dove that we just talked about. That's the gentle aspect of the people of God. God has used His church to bring refreshing to so many thirsty souls and so many people that have been hurt and troubled and beaten down. God has used His people to bring comfort and rest to them and minister in the love of Christ. Well, then the next verse says that the remnant, the remnant of Jacob shall be among the Gentiles in the midst of many peoples as a lion, among the beasts of the forest, as a young lion among the flocks of the sheep, who if he go through, both treadeth down and teareth in pieces, and none can deliver. Well, that's the other side. That's the army with banners. There that speaks of the authority of the Church of Jesus Christ under the Lordship of Christ. They're like a lion among the sheep that is to be feared, that goes forth and conquers in His name. And God wants to manifest Himself to His people in both of those ways, and we need to recognize that that's our call. Sometimes we're called to be very gentle and to show the love of Christ and bear with people and have faith with them, encourage them. And then there are other times when God wants us to take our stand in the name of the Lord and claim His victory and not back down in the face of adversity, but stir up ourselves and be strong and have a good courage, because the Lord our God is with us and He's mighty. Praise God. And so we need both those attitudes, and God wants to develop that in us, to see our need of Jesus all the time, to reach out to Him, but also to allow Him to manifest His victory in us. And as I said before, that starts first of all in our hearts. God wants to give you victory in the things in your life that aren't pleasing Him and aren't glorifying Him. And we can deal with God about those things. We can yield ourselves to the power of the Holy Ghost. We can surrender ourselves fully to His Lordship. And the more we do, the more of a hold Jesus Christ has over us, and the more of His authority He places upon our lives. And then we have authority in prayer. And then God can use us to command the things that need to be changed in His name. I like the Apostle Paul. I like that story where this woman who was possessed of a devil was following him. And she was saying, "These are the servants of the Most High God. You ought to listen to their message. They tell you the way of the God in truth." And she followed him for a number of days, it says. And Paul didn't have this attitude that, well, I can just cast the devil out anytime I want to. I'm a child of God, and so on. But he was sensitive to the Holy Ghost. And he looked to Jesus. He recognized he had no power, but that Jesus would give him power. And after a number of days, then the Lord moved upon him, and he turned to that woman, and he commanded the devil to depart, and it departed. And you wondered about that. You said, why did he take so long? Why didn't he do it right away? Because it wasn't Paul's doing, it was the Lord's doing in Paul. And Paul recognized that. And you know, Paul knew that he had no power against the enemy, but what Jesus would give him. And he waited upon God. When God stirred him, then he took his stand, and he allowed God to do His work. Praise God. And so, may God help us to fulfill our mission as the Church of Jesus Christ here in this world. Praise God. God has placed you in your home because you're His child, and He wants to use you to win victories in that family of yours. Every family has problems, I find out. Some more than others. But you know, it's amazing as you talk to people and as they begin to open their hearts to you, find out there's drug addiction, there's sickness, there's disruption in the home, there's rebellion, and so on. And God wants to use His people. He wants to use you there in the home to be the blessing and the influence that will begin to subdue the enemy and cause His kingdom to be established, His will to be done. And so, let's be encouraged tonight. Brother Eddie spoke to us the other day about that God will use that worm, Jacob, just a little worm, to tread down a mountain. And God will use his people. He'll use you to accomplish great things as we just give ourselves fully to him. Praise God. And so Jesus is looking for volunteers who will give himself to the Lord like that. Lord, I just want to give myself to you. And you can use me any way you want to, Lord. But Jesus, I want to first of all come under your authority in my own life. And I want to be fully surrendered to you. Jesus, enable me to give myself body, soul, and spirit to you. Praise God. Lord, we pray that you will make us that gentle, sensitive, tender member of the body of Christ. Fill us with your love, Jesus. Fill us with your compassion, we pray. God, let the fruit of the Spirit, the fruit of gentleness and patience and so on, be manifest in our life in a greater way, Lord. Make us sensitive to the Holy Ghost, we pray. And, oh God, teach us how to please him and not to grieve him, how to live in his presence and to abide in him with that tender, precious relationship. But, Lord, we also pray that as we give ourselves to you, that you will give yourself to us in greater power and in greater victory, Lord, and that you will help us to be strong and of a good courage, and to face our problems and face the difficulties in our lives and in our homes with the confidence that Jesus Christ is victor, and that he is able, and that he has power to change and to bring things into his will and cause them to bring glory to his name. Give us that power in prayer, we pray, Lord. And help us, Jesus, to just be at your disposal. And let it be our cry all the time. Let God be magnified. Let his work go forward. Let his kingdom come and his will be done. And we know you'll do that for us, Jesus. We praise you for it. Amen. Amen. Praise God.